I want to speak this morning on the subject, will you be missed when you're gone? Let me repeat that emphasis, please. Will you be missed when you're gone? I think we all need to recognize more fully the fact that we're here just for a little time. We're just passing through, as I mentioned this morning. The Bible speaks of the fact that we're just pilgrims. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. The Apostle Peter says, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We need, therefore, to understand that we're just here for a very brief time. This is preparatory stage. We're preparing really truly for life, that is life indeed. And of course, we need to make as much preparation as possible. And all of that we might be able to enjoy to its fullest the glories of that eternal home that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us. But you know, really truly, as I grow older, I recognize more and more that life is very uncertain as we pass through this low land of sickness, heartache, and sorrow. I recall the words of the sage of old in Job chapter 14, verse 1. When Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And then in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, the wise man Solomon said a long time ago, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Then I recall the words of James, who many believe was a half brother of Jesus Christ, and he wrote the book of James. James says in James chapter 4, 13 to 15, go to now, either say today or tomorrow. We will go into a certain city and continue that year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So that we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Really, truly, we need to understand that we appear just for a little time. And then before we really comprehend what is happening about us, we are called upon to step off the stage of action, and another generation takes our place. They too finally will come to an end, and then another. It has been going on for thousands of years, and you know, really, truly, sometimes we get the idea that we're going to live forever. But we're not going to live forever. Life is uncertain. Life is very short. We need to recognize that one day we're going to take that journey from which there is no return. I recall again the words of Job. Job chapter 16, verse 22. Job says, when a few years have come, then I shall go the way, but I shall not return. You know, many times we take journeys in this day and time. We like to take trips. I enjoy taking a trip now and then. When I was preaching over at Frankford Road, over in Carver County, they told me, you can have 2 weeks vacation every year. But you know, I lived over there for 8 years, and I never took a single vacation while I was there. I did go up to Kentucky and hold a meeting on a couple of occasions, but I didn't take a vacation. One of the reasons why I didn't take a vacation is the fact that I do love to preach. I enjoy my preaching. And so I hate to be gone on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday night, and hate to not be able to fill my regular appointed place. And for that reason, I very seldom go. But you know, one of these days I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to be gone for a while. But you know, that final trip we're going to take is not going to be like that vacation that I plan on taking eventually. It is a trip that we don't prepare for, really, in the ordinary sense of that word. If we're going to take a trip on earth, many times a few days ahead of time we'll get our clothes together. Whatever we want to carry with us, we'll get it all together. Maybe put it in the trunk of the car, or maybe in the back seat. We make at least some preparation in that respect. But you know, sometimes we misunderstand that this journey we're going to take finally, this last great journey we're going to take, it may come unexpectedly. There will be no planning for it. It may be either suddenly the Grim Reaper will call when we're least expecting him. And although many times as we plan to take a vacation here on earth, we look forward to the time when we can come home and be reunited once again with our loved ones who may be trapped behind. But you know, when we take that final journey, that final trip, there'll be no coming back. We do not look forward to coming back to this earth because we won't come back. Again, Job said, in a few years, when a few years are come, that I shall go the way, but I shall not return. And so we need to recognize the fact that we're going to go, whether we want to or not, whether we're prepared or not, we're going to take that final journey of all journeys. But now at the end, the question is, when you're gone, when you step out of life into eternity, You're going to leave behind a lot of people that you've known in your life. So I raise the question, then, will you be gone? Or will you be missed, rather, when you're gone? You know, really true, it seems to me to be true, that all of us want to be remembered. You know, there's sometimes a large sums of money that are spent for memorials placed in the cemetery because we want to be remembered. We want people to miss us after we're dead and gone. I suggest to you, really truly, in times past, there have been men who have lived, and because of the life that they lived, they were greatly missed. I suggest, really truly, such was true with Abraham of the long ago. Abraham, as you know, was referred to as a friend of God. And I'm sure that those people who lived in the days of Abraham, those people who really knew him and his friends, his family, they missed that great man of God after he was dead and gone. I suppose the same thing was true with Moses, the great lawgiver. Moses, as you could call him, was a man who went up from Mount Sinai and received the law upon the two tables of stone. Those are two tables of stone written with the finger of God, the Ten Commandments on those stones. And so Moses, therefore, was a great man. He was a leader of the Jewish people for a good long while. And I'm sure that when Moses was gone, Moses was missed after he was gone. I believe really and truly that was true with Joshua. We mentioned Joshua in our lesson this morning. Joshua really was a military strategist. He was really a genius in that area. You know, when he came near to the land of Canaan, you know what he did? Joshua marched all the way across the land of Canaan. Then he turned south and mopped up the forces down south. After having done that, then he marched north and conquered the north, divide and conquer. I don't know if it's so or not, but I'm told that in the military institutions of our land, that they have those students to study the tactics that were used by Joshua in his capture of the land of Canaan, divide and conquer. Joshua was a great leader, but you know, the time came for him to die. You know, I like to read Joshua 23 and 24, because really, truly, these two chapters in the book of Joshua record the farewell address, the farewell message Joshua gave to the Jewish people. Joshua was a great leader of the people. He brought them into the land of Canaan. He conquered the land and he settled the people in their respective places in that land. And I'm sure, therefore, then, that because of the greatness of this man, Joshua, because his fear of God is living in harmony with the truth of God, Joshua was missed when he was gone. But you know, I'm sure that was true with Jesus of Nazareth, who lived only for a brief time. Only just a short time he lived, yet at the same time no man has made as great influence upon the world as he made. So I'm sure though there were those who missed the Lord Jesus Christ when he was gone. But you know, that also would be true with Paul and with Peter and with other of the apostles who worked so hard and so diligently for the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm sure that they were missed when they were gone. But you know, it's true with me. Sometimes I miss people. People that I've known in years past. Congregations that I worked with. Sometimes when I go there now, those people are no longer there. You know, some of the first preaching that I did was done at Fairfield. I stayed there some 8 years, and there were some old men there at that time, men that I had the highest respect and regard for, and I miss them when I go back. I thank God for times of Finest Bass, one of the finest men I've ever known. Finest Bass was a great encouragement to me when I first began to preach the gospel of Christ, and when I go to Fairfield, I miss not seeing my brother Finest Bass. He's been dead now for a number of years. The same thing is true with Lawson Rogers. Those two men were elders of the church at Fairfield for a long period of time. They were a great encouragement to me. They were good men. They were just as good of men as you could find anywhere upon the face of this earth. And I miss those men when I go back to Fairfield. When I go down to New Antioch, I miss old Dee's father. Old Dee's father was a friend of mine for many, many years. He was a godly man. He served as an elder at New Antioch for a long period of time. And I miss men like that, men who meant so much to me and to the cause of Jesus Christ. Men like that are missed when they're gone. I could name others who also were missed, but let me move on and raise the question, what about you? When you're dead and gone, will you be missed? Will the community in which you live, will your community miss you? You know, many times we fail to understand that we have a tremendous impact upon the people that we associated with. I recall a statement made by the writer of the book of Hebrews, In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God and works the sacrifice and came, by which he obtained witness that it was righteous, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Yes, it is true. Many hundreds of years, even thousands of years, had passed by since Abel's death, and yet the Bible says Abel still speaks. And you know, really truly that's true sometimes in a community where we live. The kind of life that we live, the words that we say, the actions that people behold us doing, many times those things speak. They speak louder many times than we really understand. And so in our service to humankind, in our service in the community where we live, in our service to the sick, to the dying, and to the dead, will we be remembered when we are gone? You know, there's a man that I once knew. He did not live a Christian life. He wasn't a Christian. But you know, whenever a grave needed to be dug, he was always there. Every time someone died, that man was there with his tools to help dig the grave. And you know, sometimes I think about that. When someone dies, and of course they don't dig the graves like they used to, they use machinery now. But I think that man always came with his shovel and with his spade and with his pick, and all of that he might help the family prepare the ground for the burial of their dead. So first of all, the question, will you be missed in the community where you live? You know what he said, but it's true. There are some who never miss, simply because they never live the kind of life that is a blessing to the community, that is a blessing to the county, to the state, and to the nation. Many people are never missed, but we want to be missed, and therefore we should serve mankind to the best of our ability while we live, and all of that we might be missed when we are gone. But then, in the second place, let me raise a question, will you be missed by your family when you're gone? You know, really truly, that strikes very close to home, doesn't it? What about a husband and father? Will you be missed when you're gone? You know, it is true, many times I'm afraid that there are some children who look forward to the time when their parents are gone, so that they will not be troubled with them or bothered by them. But that is really truly a tragedy. We need to recognize that we are to honor our mother and our father. I remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, when he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not the children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes, it is true, we need to honor our mother and our father. And therefore, we then need to recognize that if we die before they will, and before they do, then they will miss us. And if they pass on before we do, then we're going to miss them. So really, truly, how about it in the home? But what about the husband and the wife? Will the wife miss you as a husband when you're gone? What is it that she will miss about you? Will it be your kindness, your consideration, your thoughtfulness for her? How will she remember you when you're dead and gone? Then what about the wife? How will your husband react when you're gone? Will he miss you? Will your husband really miss you when you're gone? And what about you? Will he miss? Will he miss the many sacrifices you've made for him? Will he miss your loving care, your tender attention to his needs, whatever those needs might be? Will you be missed as a husband and wife when you're dead and gone? Let me point out to you once again the fact we're not going to live always. We're going to die. We are a dying people, a dying race, and we want to be remembered. We want to be missed when we're gone. But the kind of life that we live in our home, the relationship we have to our husband or our wife, will determine whether or not we're missed when we're gone. Some wives are glad when their husbands die, and some husbands may be glad when their wives die because of the kind of life that they have. But that's not the way it ought to be. The husband ought to love his wife, and the wife ought to reverence and love her husband. In the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. And so we want to be missed. We want our children to miss us when we're dead and gone. But how will your children remember you? Some will remember the abuse that has been heaped upon them by their parents. Others will remember the loving acts of kindness The many things that were performed by the parents for the children, the education and so on that was given them. But really, truly coming back once again to the second point in the lesson this morning, what about your home? Will you be missed by your home, by the family members of the home when you're dead and gone? But in conclusion, may I raise the question, will you be missed in the church when you're gone? Will the church miss you when you're dead and gone? You know, it is true, some will be missed, I'm sure, because of their attendance, their regular attendance. You know, many times when I rise to speak, especially if I've been there quite a while, I can look out and I know where everybody sits. Because, you know, human beings are strange creatures. They always sit in the same place. Just about everybody sits in the same place. So you can look out over the congregation on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and you can pretty well tell who's there and who's not, simply by looking at a certain area of the building. And you know, really, truly, it's tragic when we really aren't consistent in our attendance. We ought to enjoy the services of the church. We ought to enjoy studying God's eternal truth. I remember David said a long time ago, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Then it is true also, as you know, the Hebrew writer said, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more, as you see the day approaching. What a wonderful joy it is to be able to meet in the quiet on the Lord's day, in the quiet of the day, maybe in the quiet of the evening, and worship the great God of this universe, the God who brought it into existence, the God who fashioned us in his own image, and the God who is our Father through our obedient faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so really truly, it is true, there are some who are going to be missed when they're dead and gone. They're going to be missed because they were always in their place. They were faithful in attending all the services of the church of the Son of God. And so they're going to be missed when they're gone. But you know, some attend so irregularly that they won't even be missed by the church when they're dead and gone. What a tragedy that is. Really, truly, life has been spent in vain. Because if we are lost when the end of our life comes, then really, truly, we've lost it all. Life has been spent in vain. But you know, there is another thing that I want to raise. What about the church? Will the church miss your qualities, your leadership qualities, when you're dead and gone? You know, really true, when you stop and think about it, every organization must have a leadership. And those leaders must have qualities of leadership. I recall what the wise man Solomon said a long time ago, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So the leadership in the church of the Son of God, that includes the preacher and all those who are in a leadership position, they must be able to see that which is needful for the congregation, the Lord's people. They must be able to see the dangers that confront the church of Jesus Christ, God's Son. False teaching of different kinds many times enters the pulpit and wreaks havoc among those who are the children of the living God. Not only is that true with danger, but also the fallen, those who fall by the wayside. We must have an interest in their restoration. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so you see, really truly, those who are in a leadership position must be able to see those who are fallen by the wayside, and they must have some compassion for them and do everything within their power to restore them. The word restore in this passage comes from the resetting of a bone that has been broken. You put it back in its proper place. And so it is true that for them, not only must the leadership be able to see dangers, they must see the fallen. They must be able to see the future needs of the congregation of the Lord's people. Make plans and preparations for the future growth of the church of Jesus Christ our Lord. They must possess a knowledge of God's eternal truth. That is vital, that is important. Not only so, but they also must be unselfish men. Men who are not out to serve themselves, but to serve the cause of the Son of God. They must have the spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. I recall the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul said, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, it is true. Unselfishness on the part of Christ was that which characterized his life. He gave up his home in heaven and came to this earth, came in the form of a human being, and then he gave up his life on the cross of Calvary, the most precious thing he possessed at that time. He gave it up and gave it all up for me and for you. And so it is true, therefore, then, that there are those in the church of the Son of God who possess leadership qualities. And because of those leadership qualities, they're going to be missed. They're going to be missed when they're gone. But there will be some in the church who will be missed because their purse will be closed. You know, really, truly, it is true that there are some who give in a sacrificial way to the cause of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, there are some who want to go at the expense of others. You know, oftentimes as I drive down the highway, I see someone out thumbing a ride. Now, I know that sometimes there are hardship cases, but you know what that man is saying when he sticks out his thumb? Let me go, but let me go at your expense. And so sometimes it is true, you see, that there are those in the church of the Son of God who are selfish in respect to their giving. Then the purse that they have, their purse is closed. And therefore, because their purse is closed, then they will not be missed by the church when they're dead and gone. On the other hand, there are those who are generous in their giving, who give in a sacrificial way, who really truly keep the congregation going. They're going to be missed. They're going to be missed when they're dead and gone. What about you? I recall the words of the Lord Jesus Christ through Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. When he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." So what about you, therefore, then? Are you going to be missed by the church? Are you among those who will be missed because your purse will be closed? You have been a sacrificial giver to the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, really, truly, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but you know, about 10% of the members of the congregations are the Lord's people throughout the country, are the members who really bear the burden, are the financial support, are the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're going to be missed because they are sacrificial in their giving to the cause of Jesus Christ. But not only so, will you be missed. Will you be missed because of your optimism? There will be some who will be missed because they are optimistic in the outlook for the church. You know, a lot of times I enjoy talking with preachers, and I enjoy being in the company of preachers because, you see, we share the same ideals. We share the same purposes and the same goals. So I like to be in company with those who are gospel preachers. But you know, there are some who are born in the kickative mood and in the objective fashion. They object to just about everything that you can think of. They're always in the negative. And I really truly believe that there is room sometimes for us to be negative in our outlook on life, at least to some extent. But you know, really truly, it's a great world in which to be alive in. And really truly, I'd rather be alive in this particular time in the history of the world than any time in the history of the world, so far as I'm concerned. Because knowledge has improved so much, has increased so tremendously. And the knowledge is so available to the sons and daughters of men now, knowledge that wasn't available in years past. You know, you have good schools right in your doorway nearly now. Back when I first started preaching, well, you couldn't go to a Christian college because there were none available unless you went several hundred miles. And now then, many times the extension course is offered in the back door so that you can obtain knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there are some who are really pessimistic with respect to the church. I know that the church of the Lord in this whole world has problems. But you know, the Lord said a long time ago through the prophet that it should stand forever. And I believe that. And I believe that although there may be radicals in the church and there may be liberals, I believe that the greater portion of those who are members of the church are in between these two extremes. And so I'm optimistic relative to the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is its builder, its founder. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased the church with his blood. And the Bible says the church is to last forever. And those words of the prophet Daniel in 2 verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Nor shall the kingdom thereof be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Yes, it is true. Now those who will be missed because of their optimistic outlook, let's never look on the dark side of life. I recall what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And with that in our mind, there is nothing that is impossible for us that is within reason. And so let us therefore be optimistic, so that really and truly we will be missed when we're dead and gone because of our optimistic outlook on life. But finally, in the lesson for this morning, there will be some who will be missed because of their good influence in the church and in which they worship. You know, influence is a tremendous thing. Everybody has some influence. You know, I recall many times the influence of a tiny baby. Well, you know, I can recall when our first child was born, and we had to change our lives and our living drastically because of the birth of that one child. The influence that one child had upon my wife and myself was tremendous. Everybody has influence. It's either good or it's bad. Now recall what the Lord said in Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherever should it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Even so, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was born in a little city called Bethlehem, in a little insignificant country in Asia Minor, and well, in the Near East, actually, I should say. And he never attended the schools, as far as the record shows. He never traveled more than 100 miles from the place where he was born. And yet he has influenced the world more than any other solitary figure who has ever lived. The influence of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, sometimes you take a little pebble and you toss it into a pond. And the pond may be large. And where the pebble hits the water, there'll be large ripples. But you know, if you watch very carefully as time passes, those ripples will extend throughout the entire pond. And so it is with our influence. We may think that we're insignificant as members of the church of the Son of God, but the manner of our life is having an effect upon the lives of other people, primarily upon our own family. And as it influences our own family, it influences other people, who in turn influence other people, who in turn influence other people, so that our lives, to a great extent, has an influence and an impact upon the lives of all the people in this great country of ours, and even the people throughout the whole world. Thou those who live godly lives. I recall again the words of Paul in Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Yes, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And there are men and women in the church of the Son of God who are precious in the sight of God because they live as the Lord directs. Because of the influence that they have in the community where they live, in the county where they live, in the state, and in the nation. And they're going to be missed. They're going to be greatly missed by the church of our Lord because of the good influence they wield in. But what about you this morning? How is your life? Are you satisfied with your life? Is your heart right in the sight of God? If not, really and truly, you're missing out on the greatest satisfaction, the greatest joy, and the greatest privileges and blessings and opportunities that this old world has to offer. I'd rather be a child of God living in a hovel than to be a millionaire outside of Christ living in the greatest mansion on earth. What about you? Have you obeyed the precious gospel of Jesus Christ? That gospel that was dedicated and ratified with the blood that was shed by Christ on the cross of Calvary? If not, won't you come this morning humbly to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ by believing in Christ with all your heart, by repenting of all of your sins, and upon a confession of your faith, be baptized into Him that your sins may be forgiven. Would you be missed by the church if you die? If not, maybe your life isn't what it ought to be. If it's not, won't you make things right in the sight of God this morning by repenting of your wrongs, acknowledging them, and pray with us as we pray for you that your sins may be forgiven. Will you come as we stand? As we sing.